Welcome to another inspiring message from Pastor David Hall, Senior Pastor of LifePoint Church. For more information, visit our website on www.davidhall.com.au.
Psalm 23. Famous psalm. It's probably David's best known psalm. It says this in verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I want to just say that again. He says, "Though I walk through the valley." Somebody say through. He says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness." Somebody say goodness. "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I want to stop in verse 4. He says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I want to speak for just a few moments this morning. I want to preach on how to get through what you're going through. How to get through what you're going through. I want to remind you, you might feel like you're in the valley of the shadow of death right now. I want to give you just a friendly word of advice, and that is, do not set up tent in that place. Do not make a decision to stay in that place, because according to Psalm 23, the valley of the shadow of death is simply a phase on a journey to where you're going. And you know, it's so easy for us to build a campsite or build a monument or build a foundation and live in a space of challenge and pain. And I've got news for you today. I want to be faith-filled in our preaching, but the truth is, we are all going to have painful days. We are all going to have days where we say, "God, why is this happening? I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand why I'm walking through it." But the word of God is clear. David says here, he says, "Though I walk through the valley," he had a revelation. That guy knew pain. David knew what it was to sin against God and come under the punishment of God. Even he knew what it was like to experience the pain of incredible loss and wrong accusation and all of those things that came against him from King Saul, who wanted to kill him because there was blessing upon his life. And you might be in this room today and you are living right now in what feels like the valley of the shadow of death. I want to remind you today that as painful as those places can be, and we've all been there, and you might say, "Well, you don't know my pain." And I don't claim to know the worst pain in the world. I've been through my stuff and I've experienced my stuff. But what I can tell you is you don't have to live there. You can say, "God, somehow, even if it seems unfair, even if it seems impossible," you say, I'm not walking to the valley, I'm walking through the valley. Are you with me in the house this morning? He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Can I tell you, this whole thing of Christians not suffering, and I don't want to be negative in my message, but if we are to take on the character and nature of Jesus, suffering was a part of the life of Christ. And I'm not just talking about Calvary, although that's very much a part of it. We know that Jesus experienced physical pain on the cross. And you might say, "Well, I'm in pain right now." Jesus has experienced that. You might say, I feel rejected. Jesus experienced that time after time after time. Rejection comes with the territory of being born again. You talk about loss. He lost his best friend Lazarus. Although he raised him from the dead, sort of fixed that fairly quickly. But John the Baptist was beheaded. It was his great friend. Can you imagine getting the letters from prison where John's basically saying, "Oh, I'm feeling disconnected. He's having a good whinge. And how do we know this is all it's meant to be?" And Jesus says, "Well, tell them the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing." I nearly said the deaf were walking, which is good. It's good when the deaf are walking and hearing by the grace of God. We talk about, you might feel betrayed. Jesus was betrayed by his treasurer. Why do you think I keep such a close eye on Ali Foxford in this church? If she ever kisses me on the cheek, we know that there is trouble brewing at LifePoint. What about loneliness? In the garden, sweating beads of blood, 40 days in the wilderness, being tempted by the devil and temptation, and experience ridicule, his own friends going, "Who does he think he is?" as he's dying on the cross, they're casting lots to try and get his cloak. And I can tell you, Jesus knew pain. He knew what it was to suffer. And I'm not here to preach a negative word today, but I want to tell you, if you've suffered, how many people could say, yeah, I've been through some pain. I know that valley. I've been through that valley. Okay, you six, thank you for being honest. The rest of you, I know you have too. Thank you for that overwhelming response this morning. It's a real blessing. What about entrapment? When the Philistines had set him up, or the Pharisees, I should say, would set him up and try and get him to answer a question so they could bring condemnation on him. Jesus knew suffering. And as the people of God, we will walk through seasons of suffering. We will walk through days of pain and days of being misunderstood and days of being judged incorrectly. And the list goes on. But I want to remind you today that these places called pain, these places called defeat, places called sickness and brokenness, they don't have to be the place where we live. We can say, God, would you help me get through what I'm going through? I don't know about you, but I've been through stuff. And it's so easy to camp there. You can by default build camp there when we get bitter or we get dejected and we sort of go, well, this is it. I don't want to be defined by my pain. I want to be defined by who God says I am and go forward in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen this morning? Let's have a look at the book of Ecclesiastes. It says in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1, Solomon says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Isn't that interesting? It's more beneficial to be at a funeral than a baby dedication or at the hospital to visit one who's been born. I know which one's more enjoyable, but one carries more meaning. I'll show you in a minute. He says, better to go to a house of mourning, in other words, go to a funeral in our context, than go to a house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by a sad countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth or the house of joy. Now, not really exciting, is it? It's not really your most faith-building scripture. But the reality is, what Solomon's trying to tell us is there is a lot more to learn in dark seasons than there are in seasons of joy. I mean, it's easy to praise God when you just get given the keys to a new car. It's easy to praise God when your bills have been paid or the miracles in your earthly possession or whatever the case may be. It takes a lot more intestinal fortitude to praise God when you're in the valley. It's a lot harder to praise God when the enemies come against you and problems are looming on every side. It takes a lot more faith, I think, sometimes to praise God when you don't feel like praising. Praising God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think there's cheap praise and I think there's costly praise. Sometimes it's cheap to praise God when the going's good. It doesn't mean it's not important. I'm saying comparatively, but when you start to praise God, when you feel maligned, when you feel criticized, when you feel rejected, when you feel like your whole world is caved in, when you feel like the devil's against you, your praise, I tell you, it means something to heaven. And maybe you can't lift up both hands and shout like the guy next to you. You might even be standing like this, but little do they know, comparatively, on the inside, you're really dancing, because what you're doing is you're dancing over what the enemy wants to bring into your life, and God's bringing victory into your world. I tell you right now, I don't know about you, I trust people that have been through tough things. I like getting around people who've been just good old hurt, who've been good old smacked around, who've been good old buffeted, because you know that when you go to them, they have an idea about what you're carrying. They get, are you hearing what I'm saying? They're picking up what you're throwing down. Bless Jesus. And so Solomon said, forget going to the wedding. Everyone's going to have a good... Go to a funeral. Forget going to visit the new baby born. Hang around some people that are mourning, because it'll give you an eternal perspective. I tell you, pain is a funny thing. But do you know pain? And I'm not trying to get all dark and reflective, but pain... And there might be those right now in exceeding pain, and you're going to hear me say this and go, oh, yeah, that's really great and helpful. I can tell you that seasons of pain can actually forge the beauty of God in your life like nothing else can in the world. There is authority that comes into the life of a person that only comes in seasons of pain. You know, you get around, I can tell you, and I don't want to make anybody embarrassed or anything like that, but I one of our staff members in our church is Ari Pittman, and you all know her, and she's been a great blessing to us over a long time. She's been on our team for years. She's married to Joel. I remember a couple of years ago, they faced great tragedy in their family, and just maybe a week or so later, Ari's leading in church. And I can tell you, the increase of anointing, the increase of weight that was on her when she ministered, now it takes courage to do that, but there is great power in your darkest seasons when you realize, hey, I'm not staying here, I'm walking through. You can see that God lifts up and there is authority that comes. I don't believe that God does these things to give you that authority, but if you're in pain, realize, although it's horrible and you might not want to be in that season, you would love to have things the way they were, I will remind you today that you are in the greatest season of your life when it comes to what God is going to do and forge on the inside of your heart and on the inside of your life. If you believe that, can you say amen? If you're not sure, just keep listening. When Solomon says it's better to be in a house of mourning than feasting, the word better means, I don't know why I went Italian then, it means molto bene. It means higher value. In other words, there is blessing in seasons of pain. And I guess today, if I was going to just give a thought before I descend into the next part of my message, I would say that we should never be a people who waste our pain. We should never be a people who go through storms and not look for Jesus in that storm. Because often when we get to the other side of it, we can come out the other side stronger. We can come out the other side with greater authority and victory in our life because we haven't wasted pain. There is always a lesson in pain. Do you know, I don't know the name of the condition, I'm sure there's people here that do, but there is a disease that people have that causes them to feel no physical pain. So if they burn themselves, they feel no pain. And if they bump themselves, they feel no pain. Or if they scratch themselves, they feel no pain. And the life expectancy of these people is incredibly short because they don't realize the pain that they're in. They don't realize that they're in maybe in a bath that is so hot it's doing more damage to them than they could ever imagine. And I say all of this to say that pain is actually an indicator that adjustment is either needing to be done or obviously it's paramount that something changes. If you're in pain, that is a great indicator that you need to come to Jesus and let him lift you up and give you peace in your heart and give you strength. When we have pain and we pull away from God, we're not making our pain any easier to bear, because there is a supernatural nature of God that when we are feeling what we feel, when we are feeling pain in our heart, he has an incredible way of somehow, I don't know how he does it, but even in some of your worst, bitter, most horrible times, the sweetness of Jesus is so real and so refreshing. I don't know about anyone here, when you've been through your toughest days, somehow you're feeling God like you've never felt him before. You're aware of his presence. I don't know. For me, there's been times that I've been through some intense pain, and I'll tell you, I wouldn't exchange it for anything, because in those times, I heard Jesus. I felt his presence. I felt his anointing. I mean, you start singing some of these old hymns, you remember, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. I want to tell you, sometimes in your darkest hour, you sense the Savior walking with you. You sense him talking with you and lifting you up. The Holy Spirit's name is Comforter. And generally, you don't need comforting when you're feeling strength and when you're feeling joy. But I tell you, in your darkest hours, there's nothing like the power of the Holy Ghost that comes and brings strength and brings comfort and brings joy and brings life in the name of Jesus. Bless God. But I never want us to be a church that wastes our pain and Don't realize that even in our tough days, God can do something in us and do something through us. So I want to have a look at a story this morning, the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. And these are slightly different circumstances, but there's a picture looking in the life of Jacob. Now I want to have a look at verse, this is really my text, Genesis 32, and it says in verse 24, then Jacob was left alone, and a man. That word man, if you've got a New King James Bible, is capital M, which talking about deity, talking about God. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, and this is Jacob saying to God, he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And he said to him, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and men and have prevailed. I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody that I want to prevail through my pain. I want to prevail through stuff. I tell you, Christians today, I feel like we lie down too quick. The enemy comes against us and we throw in the towel. We get disillusioned. We get let down. Can I tell you, I pray that we'd have some people that know what it is to wrestle with God and say, God, I will not let you go until you bless me. Who know what it is to pray until God turns things around. Maybe your kids are lost and you've gone, you know what, I'm just going to love them through it. By all means, love them through it, but keep praying that prayer of faith and saying they will be taught of the Lord and great will be the peace thereof. They will be born again. They will be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I got some family right now in my life that I'm saying, God, you've got to turn these things around. God, we're going to win this thing. God, we're going to believe that something good's going to happen. Maybe the enemy's come against you and you feel like this is just who I am. Can I say, we got to square our shoulders and prevail again and say, God, I will not let you go until you bless me. God, I'm holding on. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep laying. You say, is that going to wear him out? Can I say, keep believing and keep praying? Some of us, we just go, God, would you do it? It's not done. God, sometimes in our pain, he wants to teach us principles of holding on to God, praying until something happens. See, I was raised in the kind of church where we didn't just have a half-hour prayer meeting before church or whatever. We'd start at 7 and we'd go through to 7. You'd seek God all night. And by the end of it, you're tired. By the end of it, you're almost wanting to never go to church again. But you'd see the breakthroughs of God. You'd see the miracles of God. You'd see souls won to Jesus. And I feel like in this day, in this hour, maybe Christians are a little bit reluctant to spend the time and pay the price. But can I say, if we'd get back to being a people, man, Jim, I'm getting excited this morning. Is anyone alive today? Is it just me? I feel so far away. But I can tell you, if we would be a people that know what it is to lock into God and say, God, I will not let you go until you bless me. Some of you believe in God for stuff, but you know why I reckon a lot of people don't pray, Pastor Mike? I'll tell you why they don't get answers to prayer. They say, I prayed for that, it never happened. They didn't pray. They prayed a little, but there is something about laying hold of God. Do you know when the priests in these Catholic churches, they have their little orbs and the smoke come out of them, and they just, you know the whole thing of incense is simply to create a picture of how God works. And how God works, he talks about prayer being of incense, is exactly like this. When we pray a prayer in the invisible, unseen world, our prayers are like incense, and the fragrance of our prayers reach the throne room of heaven, and they're taken before God in heaven. So when we pray, all we're doing is releasing something into an atmosphere that touches the throne room of God, and in the divine timing of God, do you realize your prayer life changes when you start to realize that your words enter the very throne room of heaven and get brought before God, and he hears them, he weighs them, and he breathes on it, and God does something. Prayer is eternal. We are sitting in a room today because people prayed for a church to be here. Those people are in heaven. They're gone. They're gone, but their prayers have been eternal. Souls will continue to be saved because of prayers that have been prayed 30, 50 years ago. I don't know about you, but when you understand the power of not letting go until he blesses, your prayer life starts to change, because when you start to speak, boom, It hits the throne room of heaven. That'll change the way you pray. You don't just say, Lord, bless this food. You say, Lord, bless my family. Lord, God, bless my home. Lord, God, bring favor into our church. God, touch our city. I hear people, they get on Facebook and they write, oh, society's falling down and it's all going wrong. I look at the life of Daniel. He didn't get on Facebook and complain. He just got on his knees before God and said, God, would you change the city? And God, change the city. That's what it's going to take. It's not going to take email. It's going to take an email. That's so stupid. I apologize for that joke. I just thought of it. So there he is. God stabs him in the hip. You know it's a serious prayer meeting when God assaults you. How was prayer? Fantastic. We had a great night. Where are we up to? He says, so Jacob then asked verse 29, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over, the sun rose on him and he limped on his hip. Everywhere Jacob went, he walked with a limp. He walked just like you, Pastor Keith. That's only because he's about to get his hip done. So he wrestled with God. God stabbed him. And on both hips. Everywhere Jacob went, he had a limp. You know one thing? That when you come out of pain, when you come out of stuff, I pray that your limp will always be a testimony to your wrestle with God. That if you've had pain, somehow in that pain, you've been with Jesus. Somehow in that struggle, you've experienced the hand of God. Somehow in dark seasons, you've seen the victories of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I can tell you today, maybe I'm not limping on the outside, but there's things that still make you limp on the inside. There's still stuff that when you think about that, you go, man, that's still alive on the inside. I mean, it still stings a little bit. But can I tell you, I just thank God that I'm not living in a world where I'm naive and I've just walked through nothing. I thank God for everything I've been through. Some things, I don't know why. I don't know why it happened. Some of the things that you've been through, you really don't know why it happened. And it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem just. And there's no words that a preacher or anybody else can say to bring comfort. But what I can tell you is even in the nastiest stuff, when there's a whole bunch of things we don't understand, and you might be limping around, you might feel like you've been limping for years. Can I tell you, just thank God. Thank God that it's not over. Thank God that even as we read in Psalm 23, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, still on the other side of that, the Bible says he anoints my head with fresh oil. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over and goodness and mercy are following me. Can I tell you, on the other side of your valley, don't stay there, keep going. Realize it is not the destination, it's part of the journey, and on the other side of your pain is blessing. Can I tell you, you might be in pain right now, just begin to imagine what this table is going to look like. Just imagine what this fresh anointing is going to feel like. Just imagine what God's getting ready to do. If you're in pain, I can tell you one thing, God's getting ready to bless you. God's getting ready to do something good in your heart and in your life. Does anyone believe that this morning? I really want to have a look at how Jacob didn't waste his pain. What Jacob did with the pain that he was in this moment. And four things that we can do, and I'll move quick today. And if you're writing these down, four things Jacob did. Number one, he clung to God. I will not let you know until you bless me. I will not let you, when you're going through pain, Christians get mad at God. And this might bother people today, what I'm about to say. I really hope it doesn't. But I can tell you that God's a big boy. God can actually handle it when the cry of one of his broken sons and daughters gets in the face of God. I mean, you still speak to God with honor and respect, but God can handle the raw cry of a human heart saying, God, this stinks. God, I don't know why it's happening. God is big enough for you to be mad at him. God can handle you being mad at him. I will remind you that he is always right, so you can try and argue as much as you like. And you can keep going, and eventually he'll stab you in the hip until you get the idea. So if you see him get the dagger out, just back off just a little bit. Just go, you know what, I might just take a break. Let's listen to some worship. Put it back. I will not let you go until you bless me. Yeah. So, when you're in pain, how do you cling? Some of us, we cling to things of this world. We'll cling to the contents of a bottle. We'll cling to whatever our old man who has been crucified with Christ, we cling to that. But I can encourage you to cling to the God who in Luke 4:18 says he binds up the brokenhearted. Or in Isaiah 6:1-3, pours out oil of joy for mourning. Or Psalm 30:11, turns your mourning into dancing. I really want to encourage you today to realize that we serve a God who is supernatural. We serve a God who loves us. And sometimes we think it's his fault. And I don't want to give platitudes to try and say good little Christian things to make tragedy seem all nicely wrapped up in a theological package. But I do want to say that as Christians, we must still live with an understanding that this life is eternal. And there's a lot that we still don't understand. But there's coming a time when we pass from this life to the next. There'll be so many questions that I don't think I'm going to get to heaven and say why. I think the minute I walk into the presence of God, it's all going to make sense. Pastor Rodney Howe Brown's daughter went to be with Jesus. She had cystic fibrosis. And as she was lying in bed trying to breathe on Christmas morning 2002, Rodney says to her, why don't you just go to heaven, get a new set of lungs, and I'm going to pray you back. And she said, it's a deal. So she passed away. She, in her own will, I guess she said, you know what, I'm done. So she went to heaven. God took her home. And so he prayed her back and she wouldn't come back. And he tells a story. It's the most emotionally stirring story I think he'll ever tell. And he says, this is the crazy thing. He said, when she was a kid, I could never get her out of bed. I'd try and say, Kelly, get out of bed. She just wouldn't get out of bed. You'd have to get cold water and pour it on her. You wouldn't get her out of bed. And he said, so if I can't get her out of bed, he said, I have no hope of getting her out of heaven, where the streets are paved with gold, the walls are of jasper. We don't understand anything, but what we do know is we have this hope. And there's people I love that are on the other side. All it does for me is it makes heaven so real. We had a lady in our church, went to be with the Lord tragically a few years ago, Morella Romeo. No one expected it. She collapsed one day. 3 days later, she died and went to be with Jesus. And I remember Rocco, her husband, he doesn't speak great English. And he said to me one day, he goes, Pasa, Morella would get on a Facebook. I'd say, Morella, it's time for dinner. She goes, no, Rocco, I'm on a Facebook. I'm a two of beers. And then he says to me in the same conversation, he says, I said, are you doing okay? And it became pretty obvious she was going to go home to be with the Lord. So we prayed. Let me tell you, if I'm your pastor, I'm going to pray and I'll pray and get you, do everything I can to keep you here as long as possible. But in this case, God took her home and he said to me, it makes me want to go to heaven even more. I know some of you right now, this side of life stinks. There's pain. You're just getting through. You're just surviving. But I can tell you, how good's heaven going to be? I mean, not only do you get Jesus, but it's going to be the greatest family reunion. I'm going to meet like my ancestors who caused all kinds of trouble. Got us stuck on this boat brought over here. I should be living in England, but no, Uncle John's great-great-uncle's dog's cat's father stole a loaf of bread, and here we are at Life Point. Another thing that Jacob did, number two, he took on a new name. Can I say your name? His name meant deceiver. Not a great name. What's your name? Deceiver. Can I borrow some money? No. God didn't want him to be called deceiver anymore. After prevailing in a season of pain with God, he says, you know what? I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to give you a new name. Pain might cause you to give yourself a name. You might be here today and your name is divorced, or your name is widowed. Your name is bankrupt, or your name is sick, or your name is wounded. Your name is incapacitated. Your name is lonely. Your name is broken. Your name is depressed. Your name is anxious. Can I tell you today, we live often through the framework and the lens of our pain. And God says, I've given you a new name. His name might be Ron. And if I wanted to get in trouble with you, I would tell you that his name's probably actually Ronald. But we don't know if that's true or not. We cannot confirm or deny. But I will say this. He might be Ron by earthly name, but he's a son of God. Your name might be Sue or Beryl or Shirley or Anne or Anne. Let me tell you today that you've had a name change. When you got brought, I'm David Hall, which means I'm the son of that Hall, but really I'm now David, a son of God. I'm a child of God. I've been brought into a new bloodline. I mean, I'm part of a new family, and some of us, we define ourselves by our pain. Can I turn the flip side around? We've got to make sure as the household of faith that we don't define people by their stuff. We don't name people this. We don't name people that. We should honor the gift of God on the inside of everybody. I thank God that we have a church full of people that have been messed up. I thank God that our leadership team are not a bunch of people that have got everything right and it's all been perfect, but there's been problems, there's been challenges, there's been hurt, there's been pain. I don't rejoice in the hurt, I rejoice in what has been forged. You're in a church that knows pain, that has been through stuff. So if you're broken here, you might go, these people have it all together. No, it's just how we dress on Sunday. We've all been through the fire. We've all been through the water. And this is a house of mercy and grace. And it's our prayer that if you're here and you might feel like your name's this or that, I want to tell you, your name today is head, not the tail. It's redeemed. It's forgiven. It's saved by the grace of God. Come on, somebody just maybe a little snaps for Jesus today. It's whole by the power of God. It's blessed. It's favored. It's good looking. By faith. Number three, he pressed into God. Simple preaching today. He said to God, he said to the man, what is your name? And God blessed him. Can I tell you, there is one name that's greater than any name you want to call yourself. It's the name of Jesus. I mean, when you press into Jesus, when you press into the one who can wash your sin away, who can heal and deliver, who can heal and restore, who can heal and set free, it's amazing what God can change in your life. He pressed into God and God said, here's a new name. Here's a new future. Here's a new season. Can I tell you, your life might seem bleak. Press into God. And then watch God go, I'm going to move you into a new place. You might be, I want you to understand that I'm young. I'm 35 in June on the 17th. Please write that down. 35 on the 17th of June. I'm just taking those off to appear a bit younger. I say all that to say this very simple thought that I hope it's evidenced by the fact that we show honor. We receive from, we have preaching in the life of our church, pastors who are well into their 70s. And my pastor, who I get more advice from in the world, is in his 80s. And even if it's unsolicited, I get advice from this man. I believe that if you're in this church and you think, you know what, I'm in my 70s, so I'm just going to let the young people do it, I encourage you. You are not thinking the way I think. I think if you're in your 70s, get your running shoes on. You've got so much to impart to this generation. You have so much to carry. And we look to you and your example. And I pray that this would be a church. You might feel like your life up to this point has been hopeless. Cling on to his name, because I still believe for everyone in this room, every single person, you might go, he means everyone but me. I mean you. If you have a pulse, I mean you. If you don't have a pulse in the room, then maybe it's not for you. But I can tell you today, I believe that the best for every person is yet to come. That God, your future is greater. The glory of the latter house is greater than the former house. And you know, today, this is not a young person's church. This is not someone who just looks a certain way or acts a certain way. This is a household of faith. A church of Abraham's, Isaac's and Jacob's, who have been through the waters, who have been tried by fire, but they've come out saying, God, I am excited to serve you. I hold on to your hand and I'm alive by the grace of God. When you're in pain, talk to God. You can ask him why, ask him what, ask him who. He said to God, what is your name? He's saying, who are you? He's talking to God. I'm not letting you go. He did not know really too much of what he was talking about or who he was talking to. If you've got questions, God is a prayer answering God, and he's got answers. Maybe the answer is one word and it's Jesus, but I can tell you, if you get Jesus alive on the inside of you, he'll pick you up out of the miry clay and he'll place your feet on solid rock. Can someone just help me out a little bit and give God a shout if you believe that God can turn things around? I mean, can anyone in the house today, this isn't a quiet church, this is a shouting church. Is anyone believe that God turns things around in the house? Well, bless God. Somebody say hallelujah. This is my last point. If a keyboard player can come, otherwise I'll go through to lunch. Number four, he walked with a limp. Jacob walked with a limp. He limped, but his eyes were on Jesus. He limped, but he walked with a new name. He limped, but he walked into what he had. You might be limping. I just want you to limp with an eternal perspective. I believe God wants us to limp with our eyes on Jesus. I'm not saying we define by a pain, but if we've got a limp, what's this limp? Oh, it's a God encounter. What was this limp? It was the greatest victory of my life. Yeah, but you've got a limp. Yeah, but I'm still going. I'm still standing. But how can you smile when you've been through what you've been through? Because I know my Redeemer lives, you know. I know that Christ is alive on the inside of my heart. I don't know, as a church, my prayer is that we wouldn't try to hide our limp. Let's be who God's called us to be, but maybe turn our scars into trophies of the grace of God. My little boy's got a little scar right here because he fell over in the playground a couple of weeks ago. And they put his eye together in the hospital. They had to squeeze it. He's screaming. My mother's crying. Donna's mad. I was in Perth. Bless God. You know, ever since it's been happening, James is going to me, split my eye. How did James split my eye? On the playground. I went bang, on the playground. He starts telling us what happened. He's proud. It's just a pathetic little scar. It'll probably go away under his eyebrow, but he's pumped. Some of you got scars. At the time, you were not happy. But now God's pulled you through it. You're walking in victory and God's blessing you. And you know, today, church, I really do believe that pain's a real thing. It's something we'll all experience. And some of you, you've had your share and you're done. But I've still got plenty to come. But can I tell you, I pray that what I'm preaching won't just be theory or something I've done in the past, but I still cling. Hold on to him. Trust him because he's worthy of praise and glory and he's able. And today, we're going to close this message. I'd love every head bowed, every person in prayer.